each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Father.
Nick. The shark. How are you doing? Okay. I know, I kind of feel that way too, but we're going to begin with prayer, okay?
Yes.
We're going to begin with prayer. Today is a feast of the triumph of the cross, so we should be or whatever you say.
Yeah.
We should be, actually, this is the 22nd anniversary of my consecration.
Wow.
To the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is when everything really began to unfold here at St. Stanislaus, you know. And in fact, I'll talk a little bit about that. Not the consecration, but the... I would say the fruits of the consecration. We've had so many wonderful things happen here as a result of that. And it wasn't just mine, because if you recall, we made it as a parish. We all made a consecration as well. So anyway, but let's begin with prayer. There's much need for prayer. And actually, we're going to pray the Angelus, as we always do, and then a decade of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, because this is... related to the feast of the triumph of the cross, and then of course the prayer for our nation, and let's just say for the nation, for the church, to Our Lady. So we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of your death. Now at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of your death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection to the same Christ our Lord. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls in the ocean of mercy, opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of your death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And from there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America and the Church to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed by the burden of the sins of our nation and the Church, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint John Chrysostom.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beautiful prayers. I have to say something, because today is the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross, but you know, the chaplet of the Divine Mercy, and the more, you know, we pray it every day here at St. Stan's, after the, at least when I have the right. Mass at the end of the day. So we end the evening Mass with the chaplet of the Divine Mercy, the iconic monstrance of Our Lady of the Sign, the Ark of Mercy. And more I realize, you know, I think always of these words of Jesus. When the Lord said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the world, or hearts that have gone cold, hearts that are frozen? And I keep telling our people, and I tell you, because you're our people, we want to be that Anawim, that little flock. Remember the night before Jesus died, he said, my little flock. He didn't say big flock. He said, my little flock. He's speaking, this is right after he instituted the Holy Eucharist, and he gave his final, his farewell discourse, and then he broke off into the beautiful high priestly prayer to the Father before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he uttered his definitive yes to do the will of the Father, to lay down his life. It was, I would say, at that moment, that's when he took sin into himself, and he sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wanted the company of Peter, James, and John, and the others, but he took Peter, James, and John deeper into the garden. I've been in that garden several times, and I've had Mass there. We had Mass there. This is just on the side, but mm-hmm. We were able to have Mass in the evening, at night. It was especially, they opened up the chapel for us, and it was the most moving experience I've had. One of the most moving experiences I've had in Israel, in the Holy Land. I think the most moving experience was when I was at the courtyard of Caiaphas, and I saw Jesus and the disciples walking that road. It had just been excavated and uncovered, and it was a road that leads to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I've shared that before, but it was a very powerful experience where I felt the Lord. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the day became dark. I had been with a group, you know, mm-hmm. leading a group. So the experience in the Garden of Gethsemane was with a group. But when I had that private time by myself, I went back to the courtyard of the house of Caiaphas, which was outside the old gate of the city, right near the cenacle, where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper. And so he would have gone from that gate and walked that road to Gethsemane, but the fact that they, through excavations, had uncovered the road, I just had to be there, and I was there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and everything turned dark. It was like nighttime, and I was just contemplating, and through the eyes of the soul, you know, I saw the Lord coming down that road in the company of the apostles as he's going down to the Garden of Gethsemane, to the Kidron Valley, and my heart just burned to be with him, to be with them, and in the prayer, or in this contemplation, it was a really contemplative, mystical kind of contemplative moment, and I saw the Lord just kind of look at me and nod me to come in, and I didn't actually get on the road, but it was, you know, through the experience of prayer, I felt that I was brought into the company of the apostles, and walking beside Jesus as he's going to the Garden of Gethsemane. That was probably the most powerful personal experience. But a more collective experience with the pilgrims that I had taken, there were 45 of us, was the fact that we were able to have Mass in the garden at night, right there at the rock where Jesus knelt down and it was in the agony, where he suffered the agony in the garden. He sweat blood, and he says, Father, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, thy will be done. There was his definitive yes that he would lay down his life. He knew he was going to do this, right? But his heart was heavy. He was full of anxiety. He wanted the apostles to be with him, Peter, James, and John especially. They fell asleep, you know, that very famous, after he suffered, and the Father sent an angel to wait on him, and he went to the three apostles who were sleeping, and he says, you know, you couldn't stay awake with me 1 hour, but, well, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, which is, we carry that with us all through our lives, that moment, that scene which really opened the door to the drama that would lead to our redemption, our salvation. But having said that, I think of the, so anyway, in the farewell discourse, he said, before the high priestly prayer, before going to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, my little flock, he says, it's my little flock, I will not leave you orphans. I go to my Father and your Father there to prepare a place for you that where I am you will be. But you're not going to come now, but I will come. He says, I will come back to you, and I will stay with you. And he remains with us in the Word of God, in the sacraments of the Church, in the teaching magisterial of the Church, and in one another, to the extent that we, and this is really our obligation as disciples of Christ, servants of God, to sons and daughters of the Father, brothers and sisters of Christ, friends of the Lord, we're all of that, if we do the will of the Father, in and through Jesus, for Jesus and by Jesus. But if we remain receptive to the inner working of God's Spirit, then we have the promise of our Lord that He is with us. And because he can't really be with us if we're not open and receptive, right? Mm-hmm. His love requires of us a response. And every day, as I just was telling at a memorial mass, and reminding the people, you know, as I do all the time, you know, when you be in the morning, you begin by just making the sign of the cross and wrap yourself in the life of the Holy Trinity and get into the work of life, into the battle, fight the good fight, you know, the dignity of work for love of God, you know, God before all things. But when Jesus said, when he comes, will he find faith in the world or hearts that have gone cold? And this is why I put so much emphasis on the Anawim, which means the little flock, those who keep the faith when others go away. So, as I say so often here, we're going through this great apostasy, the people going away in mass. You know, just they say there are more Catholics who are non-practicing, who have rejected the faith, and there are those who are in the faith, devoted to the faith, devoted to the Lord. And I truly believe that. That doesn't mean that those who have abandoned God are completely culpable, because many, it's through ignorance, or it's through the exposition of expose of all the scandals and the corruption, and we can't deny that. But it makes it all the more urgent for those of us who remain with the Lord in the Church, and we can't be with the Lord outside the Church. We have to be with the Lord in the Church. He's the head, we're the body. But it's that we remain with him, and he knows his own. And there's a great power in the Anawim that will confound the wise of this world. And so our praying the chaplet, our going to Mass, which is where we go in gratitude to renew our covenant with the Lord, it's there that we really enter into the exaltation of the cross. But it's the chaplet is it really flows from the Holy Eucharist, flows from the sacred mysteries of our faith, the Holy Eucharist, the Mass, which means missio, Mass is mission, we're people with a mission. And the chaplet was, when you think about it, it was given to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska in the 1930s, and of course what happened, that was between the First World War and the Second World War, and that decade during the 1930s. But again, you think of the rosary that was given by Our Lady. Well, the rosary was had been part of the life of the Church for many, many, many centuries. But the when Our Lady appeared in Fatima to the children, and she said, you know, to pray the rosary. You know, that was their message to the world, to Our Lady, was to pray the rosary daily for peace and for conversion, for the conversion of sinners and for peace. And if this is truly correct, what was added to the Decad was a prayer, "Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins." I always do this when I pray the rosary; it comes automatically. I always want to morph into another prayer. You remember, "Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins.
Lead us to heaven.
Lead us." Oh my gosh. "Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins.
Save us
from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are most in need of thy mercy."
Yeah.
So this emphasis on mercy, mm-hmm. those in need of mercy. And then in the 1930s, on using the beads of the rosary, we were given the chaplet through Jesus from Jesus to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, through her to the Church. And Pope John Paul II mm-hmm. What's the word? When he was raised to the chair of Peter, her message was suppressed, and he opened up the diary, and then it became really his pontificate. It was one of spreading this message of the divine mercy, and this all of a sudden everybody was praying the chaplet. Now, you know, from the time of the papacy of Pope John Paul II, who would have thought we'd come into this time? Because that was really I was formed under the papacy of Pope John Paul II, and I was a novice. Actually, we were probably the only novices in the history of the Church who had three popes in our novitiate, reigning during our novitiate or heading the Church. So it was Pope Paul VI who died, and then it was Pope John Paul I, and he only lasted a little over a month, I think, and he died. And then we had Pope John Paul II, which was just a great, wonderful, beautiful blessing to the Church and to the world. And it was such a powerful image, such a strong, powerful, manly, saintly image, an image of mysticism, of great strength, just the great. They call him the great, and indeed, I would say so myself, because he kept me in the seminary, you know, thank God. He's the one who said, you know, before he went into the papacy, that we are, he said, "I don't think the Christian world realizes that we are up against the final confrontation between the Church and the anti-Church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between the Christ and the anti-Christ. But this is all under the umbrella of God's providence. This is a trial we have to take up." Those words, I repeat those all the time, because I truly believe. And who would think that after his 27-year papacy, where things were just really coming together, it seemed to me, certainly, because that when I went into the seminary in 1976, it was really a crazy time, and it's sort of kind of in some ways it's been a crazy time ever since. But since his death, and then with the papacy of Pope Benedict, who was again a very mystical, very, very holy intelligence. Some say that he was the most intelligent. He's still alive. Intelligent man in the world, but how the world has changed, radically changed. And this prayer of the chaplet of the Divine Mercy, really what it is we're really calling God's mercy upon a world that is passing to a diabolical disorientation. But not only that, it's a prayer of gratitude. So we're saying, okay, if most are ignorant or have completely rejected or hostile to God and to the what's been handed down to us, what we have no authority to change, as Pope John Paul II said to those protesters who were protesting the Church's teachings on sexuality, on marriage, on this and that and whatever in Belgium, and they filled up these condoms with helium, and they burned effigies of the Pope. And the Holy Father simply said, you ask me to do what I haven't the authority to do. I don't have the authority to change these things. So, in essence, every time I pray the chaplet, such a powerful prayer, but we're saying one thing, we're expressing our gratitude for to the Father, because it's a prayer. All prayer is really, really directed to the Father in and through Jesus, but we're acknowledging before the Father the gift of His Son, for the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. It's a prayer directed to the Father, but it's also acknowledging in this time of great apostasy, this going away, that we are here, and you will find faith by your grace. Keep us in the faith, but we're acknowledging in the name of all humanity, in the name of the whole world, we're asking, have mercy on us and on the whole world, acknowledging to the Father our gratitude for the gift of salvation, the gift of redemption, which was wrought through the blood of the cross on this feast of the exaltation of the cross. So it's a powerful, powerful prayer, a gratitude and acknowledging or saying it through from our hearts, Jesus, you will find the faith. Keep us in the faith. We're here. We're keeping the faith in the name of all humanity. Okay, we're going to take a break here, and give me just a second, my dear friend Nick. So here we go. Okay, so I'm Father Anthony, and on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 and WNDZ. That's WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. on the grounds of St. Stanislaus Kostka. And if it rains, under the school portico, for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night, for your safety. We ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with you, for being with us. And we're with you.
Yes, it works for us.
By the way, I do want to welcome, you know, if we have any new listeners, especially in view of the fact that, and it really is a blessing for us to be part of the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. This is truly a blessing for us, and so I hope you stay with us because we need each other. You know, I tell our people here at St. Stan's all the time, and especially in the evening, because we have so many people who come to the evening mass at 7 o'clock. A lot of young people, which is really
good thing.
And they call themselves the small flock, you know, but they're not that small. I mean, there's a good number.
It's getting bigger.
It is. It really is. Sometimes it's just amazing. There are more people at the evening mass than there are at the Sunday mass.
Wow.
Because these people come from other parishes,
yeah.
And like you heard in the promo, the church is open 24/7, mm-hmm. And that's the fruit of the consecration of Our Lady that we made, that I made, and together then with the, then afterwards I brought the parish into this whole consecration, and we collectively discerned quite beautifully, quite mysteriously, really, you know, the call that Our Lady will not permit the cacophony, the rude noise of the world, to shout into silence the voice of the living God. In fact, no doubt that she's sprinkling the world with sanctuaries. And this is a good sign. So this is a sign of hope, you know. We always got to remember that in this rather dark time, and I truly believe that this is a very, very dark time when people have a lot of anxiety and the like, a lot of uncertainty, that we got to look for those signs. Even the fact that our church and the churches around here have been really restored beautifully is a sign that, you know, this isn't the end, you know, there's something good is coming. But, you know, who only knows? Only God knows, you know. If we don't convert, if we don't change our ways, we can expect we're going to hit the abyss. I want to share with you, because we weren't on last week, and as you may know or you may not know, I go through this cancer treatment, so I'm doing fine, so I'm not... Not woe is me. This has been 5 years. Every 3 weeks, I have to go to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, and so I'm out for a few days. And thank God, you know, we've got Mary Fiorito and Loretta Frolic and Father Tom Coys and others who come in. And then you get the reruns, too, you know.
Right.
So some of them are good. Some of them may not be. You know, I've never listened to the radio, so I just.
I too. They're all good.
As I say, I think I might have said a couple of weeks ago. We kind of fly in, and I'm a pastor of a parish, so I don't have time to really prepare. You know, except that I pray, and I'm hoping that prayer is the best preparation. Yeah, but I do want to share with you because I wanted to speak about the 9/11. We just had the. Anniversary, the 20th anniversary, and so I wanted to share with you some of my thoughts on that. Even though, you know, we're a few days away, but we need to reflect on this. I think truly, but you know, days after the terrorist attack on the United States of America, that was September 11th, as everybody knows, on 2001, when over 3,000 human beings perished tragically as people filled, think about this, people filled planes were turned into missiles targeting the Twin Towers in Lower Manhattan and the Pentagon, and a fourth plane went down in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. At that time, something interesting happened or descended upon St. Stanislaus-Koska. Now, this was 2 years after I made my consecration. Of my life to Our Lady, I wanted to deepen my priestly consecration. And I don't know if the parish had done their consecration before that or after that. It might have been before that. But in any case, in my book, A Mother's Plea, I called this interesting thing that descended upon the parish at the time of 9/11, I call it the carnival that dropped from heaven. So 20 years ago on September 11th, those of us who are around, those of you who are around, remember well where We remember where we were as the news was breaking. Our nation was under attack. We were horrified by the sounds and the scenes transmitted over the television, over the radio, and cell phones. Not only were we horrified, we were stunned and shell-shocked. Everyone and everything stood still for days. There was just this unbelievable stillness. The skies over our nation, especially over Chicago, because we're a big city, but this, I don't know if you recall this, but the skies were eerily silent.
Not a plane.
As
not a
planes
noise.
Had been grounded and all air travel canceled, we felt that silence, no planes, because we see planes all the time. We got O'Hare and we've got Midway. Mm-hmm. But O'Hare, one of the busiest at the time, I think it may be again the busiest airport in the United States. But anyway, I did recall on that day only the sound of sirens to the city of Chicago. We didn't know what to expect, you know, we didn't, and we waited. Because we were being told also that Chicago was, the Sears Tower was a target as well. And there, did you know, I was listening to this the other day, that there was a report that there were six planes, two were
unaccounted for. Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two were unaccounted for. Mm-hmm. I don't know whatever happened to them, but at the time, because they brought all air flights to an end. Mm-hmm. I talked to people who were actually on the international flight from Europe, and they were diverted to Canada, I think, you know. But anyway, and parents, I'll never forget this. They came, they were so nervous picking their children up from school. My sister, I recall, she called me from South Carolina. She was on a business trip. She was crying, and she felt trapped because fear was gripping everyone in the nation, and she didn't want to be alone without her husband, without her children who were in Florida. Her husband had to make the drive from Florida to South Carolina to bring her home because there was no travel, you know. And people were afraid. Like, as I said, waiting, expecting something, waiting, because we were under attack. Now, during those days, all public celebrations were being canceled. All entertainment, sports events came to a halt. The nation was in shock, naturally, in grief. And we were scheduled to have a small carnival only days after the terrorist attack. And I was prepared to cancel our carnival as well. But suddenly, I got calls from other venues, other venues who had carnivals scheduled around the city, and they were asking if they could bring their rides and their booths to St. Stan's at no cost to the parish. And so this no longer was about money, a project for making money and, you know, having fun and all that. And so I prayed about it. Because everything was being canceled, and I decided, you know, through prayer that no, we would proceed with the carnival. And what was initially a very small carnival, now, for those of you who don't know, we're right up against the Kennedy Expressway, right off the Chicago Loop. So we're right in the center of Chicago. And so what this small carnival morphed into a large carnival. We had the Ferris wheel right up against the expressway, because literally people were on the expressway, not on it, but we were right along the expressway. You can look out. I remember President Clinton, this was back when he was a president, yes. I was looking out the window of the rectory and looking right into his car. He was riding as they were in the motorcade mm-hmm. going toward Division Street. We're off right off Division Street. And they turned off Division going east toward the, toward downtown or whatever. So, but so atop the Ferris wheel, overlooking the Kennedy Expressway, we hung a huge banner that said "Pray the Rosary," and we set up a tent. Do you remember this, Tony?
Yeah,
yeah, you remember well. You were part of this,
right? And we'd given up rosaries. And
yeah, exactly.
Everything.
We set up a tent at the center of the carnival for the Adoration mm-hmm. of the Blessed Sacrament. And you and others, we, our parishioners, we all came together to prepare the event and to hand out, as you said, the prayer cards and mm-hmm. rosaries, and to simply be present to others in any way in any way we could. Mm-hmm. And of course, the doors of the church remained open, as they have to this day. And you were part of that, right? That team kind of handing out the rosaries and prayer cards. But do you remember that?
I think I do, yeah.
And people came from all over Chicago, and they thanked us for allowing some relief for their children and for themselves. They needed to connect with others in a subdued and in a consoling way so their children could enjoy the rides, and they wanted to pray. They wanted the prayer cards and rosaries, and they wanted to be with others. They wanted to talk. It was so obvious that this was so needed. This was a few days after the terrorist attack.
And remember how full the church was after that, too.
Exactly.
And then it slowly just...
Yeah, things went back to normal.
Yeah.
Exactly. But as we commemorated this a couple of days ago, those who lost their lives on 9/11, either as victims, innocent victims, or those firefighters and police officers, first responders who bravely went to the rescue of those in harm's way, we would do well to reflect on the letter of St. James. As we heard on Sunday, in the second reading this past Sunday, from the letter of St. James, we were reminded that faith must manifest itself in good works. And I suggest it's not a far stretch to say that those who died in defense of others on 9/11 were martyrs, insofar as Jesus says, what you do to others, you do unto me. I just thought of that, because we're going to be judged ultimately, as Jesus said, at the end of time. He'll separate the sheep from the goats. But he says, what you did to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did unto me. If you didn't do anything for them, you did nothing for me. If you served them, in this case, you died in defense of others. Is it a far stretch to say they were martyrs insofar as Jesus says, what you do to others, you do unto me? But now the question is, where are we as a nation? Okay, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and I'll ask a question, and you can think about it while we're doing the break. Where are we as a nation 20 years after 9/11? That's the question I want to address in just a moment. So don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Chicago Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org. All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. on the grounds of St. Stanislaus Kostka. And if it rains, under the school portico for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. we are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. I say the two Tonys, two Tonys on Winds of Change. So where are we as a nation 20 years after 9/11? Where are we, Tony?
I don't know. I don't know. I want to say square one again, but I'm trying to be positive.
I think that's the correct answer.
Yeah.
Square one, and maybe worse.
And his father, it's funny.
Sorry to be the pessimist here, but.
Yeah, a friend of mine, we were having a conversation, and I don't know where this came from, but he basically said to me, oh, I'm glad we got out of Afghanistan. And that, for some reason, it bothered me. It bothered me for a few days. Until 9/11, and I, dare I say, I forgot. You know, they say never forget.
Right.
I forgot, and then it dawned on me, 20 years. Thank you, Jesus. There was nothing else
of
that magnitude. And then I realized, well, yeah, people are going to say whatever. And I guess even with my friend, I don't think he even understood his response to me. And I know you're going to have one side that says, well, what did 20 years give us? And what was the point of it all? And I was one of those people one time too, but when it dawned on me, 20 years, we were safe. And now I think we're not.
Well, it's the debacle, how everything happened, you know, and you know, there wasn't. I don't want to get so much into politics here, but under the other administration, there wasn't. They were not going to abandon the Air Force base. It's one of the largest Air Force bases in the world.
Exactly. Why would you give every?
Billions of dollars worth of weapons, and now the Taliban are wearing our uniforms.
And that's another thing.
And then the people left behind. But let me just say this, you know, and. Because it is, and the fact is, and people have to keep this in mind, you know, I come from a military background. Yeah. My father was a career man in the military, and so I grew up in that environment. Right. But we had bases, we still have bases in South Korea, in many, many parts of the world, as a safeguard. Mm-hmm. And to abandon the base, you know, there was no reason for that. Yeah. And that wasn't the initial plan, but anyway, we'll come back to that perhaps even as I'm unfolding this. But where are we as a nation 20 years after 9/11? In the Gospel on Sunday, Jesus lays out a question that needs addressed by all of us. Mm-hmm. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" And if we answer as Peter replied, because Peter said, "You are the Christ," but we reject the call to pick up our cross and follow him, we are rebuked by the Lord as Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan," because you think not as God does, but as human beings do. So the Lord summons us to faith, virtue, and valor. But Jesus says to us today, as he said to the crowd 2,000 years ago, and this is what he said right after he rebuked Peter, because he was speaking about his impending death. And Jesus says, "No, this won't happen to you." Or Peter said that to Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. He says, "No, this is get behind me, Satan. You think not as God does, but as human beings do." And then Jesus says, you know, "Whoever wishes to come after me, you must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." So this is, again, Jesus doesn't deceive anybody. That's why I don't like the soft Jesus in the tiptoeing through the garden.
Right.
It's the Jesus who suffered sweat, blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. that's the Jesus I cleave to, you know, because life is hard and nobody can deny it. And Jesus didn't deny it. It's not about being happy in this world. Yes, we have happiness. Our great joy is in Christ. But in any case, it says, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, emulating those who went to the rescue of others on 9/11, we must all be first responders against the onslaught of evil underfoot to destroy our nation's Declaration, Bill of Rights, Constitution, which ensure our rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The founders of the United States of America understood liberty and the pursuit of happiness not as the free reign of the flesh and the nurturing of egocentricity and narcissism. I've been saying for a long time, for decades, we've been breeding narcissism. Mm-hmm. Rather, they understood freedom as adherence to God's law, the discipline of the faith, and sacrificial love of God and neighbor. It all flows from the proper worship of God. We offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. I keep repeating this word. These are the words of St. Paul. This is how we participate in the Holy Mass. We renew our covenant with the Lord. We offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. Again, on Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, what happened on Calvary is not repeated, but renewed and perpetuated at the altar of sacrifice until Jesus comes at the end of time. And we're to enter into that sacrifice. Our love is sacrificial. The nation has radically changed, radically changed. As Christians, and I know this just didn't just start with 9/11. It's been creeping up on us. Mm-hmm. But as Christians, we are increasingly strangers in a foreign land. In the present moment of history, we're shamed for our defense of life from the moment of conception, even though this was happening way before 9/11. We're shamed for upholding virginity and chastity. Where do you ever hear anything about virginity and chastity, the great good that this is, in our striving for sexual morality in a nation, a world that is obsessed? The West is obsessed with sex. It's not the church's obsession, it's the world's obsession. We're shamed for our defense of holy matrimony. We're shamed for our defense of the nuclear family. We're shamed because we follow the natural law and the law of science. I mean, who would have thought? I truly believe that powers and principalities, because we read this in sacred scripture, purposefully seek to divide us and purposefully foster the free reign of the flesh, knowing well it will bring our nation to ruin. This wrongful indoctrination, call it critical race theory there's a whole litany of stuff.
Right.
Social engineering, psychological warfare, all the stuff that's going on leave us befuddled, confused, full of anxiety. Our peace and tranquility are disturbed. But on 9/11, you see, as the United States of America unified as one nation under God, let us not forget the words of the prophet Isaiah. We heard those on Sunday. The Lord is our help. Therefore, we are not disgraced. We shall not be put to shame. We were not put to shame on 9/11, and we will not be put to shame today. Our faith must manifest itself in the witness of sacrificial love. So, you know, we can all be, and we all must be, first responders in defense of all that is good and all that is beautiful and all that is true, whether we're police officers or firefighters or parents or teachers or health workers, even children and young people should be first responders. Each and every one of us who value the dignity of life, who value faith, who value virtue, who value valor, courage, and the dignity of hard work, not for personal gain, but at the service of others, then we contribute to the viable future of our nation. You see, on 9/11, diabolical evil was let loose. Evil is a reality. It has many faces and is often, more often than not, deceptive, but it shall not prevail. It never has, it never will, but it's always there. And again, if we deny the multifaceted faces of evil, and yet we believe in Christ, but we deny the multifaceted faces of evil, the Lord says, get behind me, Satan. You think not as God, but as human beings do. In other words, today we have to step up to the plate, be astute, and get into the fight for the future well-being of our church, our nation, and the salvation of our children. And it's going to hurt. And we could even die. But the fight is worth the effort. You know, I was talking to somebody, and I keep talking about this cancel culture. We all know about that. And somebody challenged me and said, you know, we're not canceled. We're not canceled. And it's true. There is a movement to cancel culture. Mm-hmm. You know, the removal of our national monuments. Again, the Afghan, well, that wouldn't be cancel culture, but the whole debacle there. But the point is that we have a voice, and we have to. This is where we have to exercise faith, virtue, and valor in defense of truth, in defense of life, the dignity of life. We're not going to be silenced. We can't allow ourselves to be pushed to the fringe, to be kept, you know, within the confines of our churches. And our beloved United States of America is worth fighting for. You know, I've heard a number of foreigners, even some leaders in other lands. I was listening to this African woman, this doctor the other day, and you know what they say? They fear the great, quote-unquote, reset, the great reset, or what they call the New World Order, mm-hmm. quote-unquote. And they say, if America falls, because they see the nation coming to ruin. They see us fall. We're so weakened and so divided and so fixated on things that people are laughing at us.
Yep.
And so people are saying, if we fall, this is their fear. They fear the Great Reset. They fear the New World Order. And those powers and principalities are moving us in that direction, even within the church. But they say if America falls, the world will fall with it. You know, unless we have something to die for, we'll never really, really know what it is to live. And so Jesus ended the gospel on Sunday by saying, whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. Again, if we have nothing to die for, we'll never know what it is to live. So as we end the show, you know, may all the victims who lost their lives on 9/11 rest in peace. May perpetual light shine upon them. May all who died in defense of freedom rest in peace. May the 13 troops who died as Afghanistan fell to the Taliban rest in peace. May the Afghans who died these past weeks rest in peace. And may those American citizens and Afghan allies to America who've been left behind come home safe and secure. You know, it would be a great blessing if we committed to a life of prayer that God's peace would descend anew in our hearts, heal our divisions, restore our land as a beacon of light in a world that has benefited greatly from the goodness of the American people. May God bless America, the land we still love. And Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred.